What up, what up, what up?
Peace.
This is the Fire This Time podcast.
I'm IK to J.
My name is Sonny Toure, and welcome back. I think this is episode 96, IK.
I think it is. Either way, we in there.
We in here.
We in here.
All right.
Hot dog. You know? How y'all doing, people? Thank you for coming back and joining us again. Welcome back, as usual. You know what I'm saying? We here to give you this heat in the heat. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going down here. You know where we at. You know, we getting our first taste of warm weather. So, you know what I'm saying? As normal, you know, people is out. Black man is circulating around. You know what I'm saying? Getting in that nature and stuff. Now, don't forget, like, share, subscribe. You know, leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Things like that. And we're going to go ahead and get it popping and see what we're going to get into. So, what we got today, son?
What we got today is we got things heating up in the Middle East with Iran joining, more officially joining the conflict. First after Israel bombed, you know, their generals in that consulate building. And now they've responded with the largest drone attack in history, along with some cruise missiles and a whole bunch of stuff. So things are really heating up over there, Aki.
They're doing it again.
And, you know, of course, we still on our Free Palestine shit.
Yeah.
So we're also going to talk about I call it the hip-hop Super Bowl.
Yeah.
For this generation. Okay. You know, I say that Super Bowls and hip-hop only come around maybe once a decade.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where you get the string of diss records amongst greats, and y'all can really sit back and enjoy the competition of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And we experiencing what seems to be the initial stages of that right now. You know? And it's been electrifying in hip-hop because of that.
So we
got niggas apologizing. You know, we got AI.
Yeah.
You know, we got our AI overlords letting their mark be be heard.
Shoot.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they got to throw theirs in there.
So, we're going to talk about all that. And, but for this week's hierarchy, what we got is South Carolina's women NCAA team going undefeated this season, coached by Dawn Staley, who was a former player herself.
Yes.
You know, our queen mother of basketball, Dawn Staley.
One of them.
One of them, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Of college women basketball right now. I mean, she's doing some incredible stuff, IK.
Doing some incredible stuff with South Carolina back then.
So, that's going to be this week's fire. We're going to lift up, you know, her, you know, the team that they put together over there, and all the beautiful sisters and their teammates that's on there, you know what I'm saying? And how they was able to overcome that the very tough Iowa squad led by Caitlin Clark.
I mean, you know, I would say it like this. I've got to give a shout out to my mother's ancestral state, my mother's side, the family's ancestral state, South Carolina. You know, they actually been pretty decent contenders in female basketball NCAA. They've been pretty decent contenders for the last, you know.
I know you just using our language, but They only lost three games in three seasons.
They've been doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad to see them get it. You know, it's a lot of sisters. I just found out Gary Payton's daughter played for them. At least that's what I'm told. We don't know if it's true, but that's what I'm told. You know?
The rookie of the WNBA, the rookie of the year for the WNBA last season was Aaliyah Boston. And we just watched her whole highlight tape.
Yeah.
And she comes from South Carolina.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, tearing up even before the game was played, just emotional that they made it there. They lost last season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they fell just short, I think, in the Final Four last season. And now the team was able to do it a year afterwards. And I don't think they returned one starter.
Yeah.
They didn't return one starter. Dawn Staley still took that team all the way back to the tournament, to the championship round, and won it this year.
She know her basketball right there. I'm glad to see her doing her thing as a coach. You know what I'm saying? She was a good basketball player, great basketball player. You know what I'm saying? She did her thing in the WNBA for sure and in college. So now she at that next stage, collagen. You know what I'm saying? She out here collagen now. You know what I'm saying? Making sure the next generation come up with skills. And based on what we've seen from the Boston sister, she doing a good job, but that sister can ball.
Yeah, and luckily, Aki, we are close currently to Indianapolis, where Caitlin Clark is just today. Probably in the next 15 minutes, is going to be drafted as the number one pick to the Indianapolis Fever. So we're going to be close by them games, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about that. We're definitely going to have to check some of them out, Aki. And because, Caitlin Clark, we don't even know if she's gonna be the best player on the squad first season.
Yeah, you know, you in the WNBA now.
The rookie of the year, Aaliyah Boston, got something to say about that. Also, they got that guard, Kelsey Mitchell.
That's serious.
Serious. She's
little lefty.
She's putting up over 6 3-point attempts a game, and she's hitting 40% of them.
She's solid.
I mean, she's very solid, Aki. So her and Caitlin Clark as the guards, you know what I'm saying? I know they also have, I think, an Emmanuel that is also their guard with that's their current assist leader. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how Caitlin Clark, you know, works herself into that squad. But, you know, just as excited as I am to see her play, I'm really excited to see Aaliyah Boston flesh out. I mean, what she was doing her rookie season. I mean, she looked like...
I think she's comfortable. You know, she's sort of seeing, like, she's a solidly built young lady. You know what I'm saying? Muscling down there in the hole. You know what I'm saying? She got a little shot on her, but she don't take too many attempts. She stay in her range. Very accurate. You know what I'm saying?
One of the nicest drop steps I've seen. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And also, she sets very good screens.
Yeah.
So, what type of space is she going to open up for Caitlin Clark and Kelsey Mitchell next season? You know, it's going to be very dynamic, exciting to watch. So we're looking forward to that.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Shout out to them again. You know, congratulations to them again.
And our sister Aaliyah Boston always got the colorful braids in. So it's very easy to tell where she's at.
Know
the
who
court.
She be.
Yeah, you're going to know where she's at. So shout out our queen, Aaliyah Boston, over there. Let's keep it moving, though, Aki. You know, just to mention it quickly, I don't think we need to stay on here too much, but O.J. Simpson passed away.
Yeah, man.
You know, and, you know, whatever you think about his legacy or the case that surrounded his life, anything like that. One thing that his death just was another reminder for me, and I'll say up front, is black man's prostate health.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he died of prostate cancer. We know that in black men, we got to look out for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nothing else, we can think about that. But also, you know, I'm thinking about his family.
Yeah.
And, you know, hell of an NFL player. And, I mean, the only reason we're mentioning him is because of how huge of a cultural figure he was.
Yeah.
So, he's worth mentioning. Anything you got to say on that?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, OJ was a black man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little more vocal about OJ in a sense of, you know, he was charged with a crime. Acquitted of a crime. He beat that charge. I looked at that man as innocent walking around here, regardless of what people want to say. You know, he made some mistakes after he beat that charge. He may have even been a little justified in that, but either way, that was a black man. Whether you agree with him or support him or don't, he was a black man. He passed. He's gone. He did great things. Great NFL player. Most people don't know he was actually a great businessman too. And he opened up a lot of businesses and gave a lot of money in California at that time when they were dealing with, and this is during the early Crip and Blood days. So, we give our condolences to his family and stuff like that and people that knew him and loved him and you know, who he was. And, you know what I'm saying? We gonna keep it pushing.
Yeah, rest in power.
Rest in power.
We also need to touch on Iran stepping into this conflict, you know, with some real weight.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're talking about Iran's response. And it's just that, a response. It's not like this is some random attack that they made against the perpetual victim, that's Israel.
Yeah.
The perfect victim, which is Israel. And that's really what they project themselves to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How did I see somebody put it? Israel has allies. Iran has proxies. You know what I'm saying? And these are the terms they use to show you which side is so-called good, which side is so-called evil.
Yeah.
You know, Iran and, you know, definitely... Islam is important in Iran. They see what's happening to their Islamic brothers and sisters in Palestine and the Gaza Strip. It's a genocide going on. Mm-hmm. So, just like the Iranians, Aki, I got to throw my support behind, you know, things that the people experiencing a genocide are celebrating with Palestine. They're saying, I mean, in Palestine, they're saying that these are some of the few, some of the first nights since this thing started in October of last year that we haven't heard warplanes over top of Gaza.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That we've got, that we've had a silent sky that wasn't dropping bombs on us. And it's because of how Iran stepped up and did what they did.
Yeah.
And the Iranians themselves are celebrating in the street. And they was in front of the British embassy, letting it be known that we have never celebrated warfare. But tonight we had to come out and show our support for, you know, getting involved in, you know, a righteous conflict. Not a righteous conflict, but a righteous act within a conflict, you know, beset upon them by, you know, Western imperialists and this puppet state, which is Israel.
I mean, you
in
know.
In the notes, I said it isn't real, not Israel. But go ahead, Aki.
I mean, I say this. Israel and Iran, Israel and Iraq, Israel and Palestine, Israel and Egypt have had it for a long time. They didn't have beef for a long time. It's a legitimate beef that they got with Israel, you know. I was highly shocked when they said drone strike from Iran to, you know what I'm saying, Israel. I'm like, well, you know, I know they had missiles that could do that. Damn, they're doing it with drones now. You know, Iran been sent back and, you know, they've been working on their military and things of that such nature. You know, when all of those nations united to go against Israel back in the 1940s, the only thing saved them was the United States and Britain. And so, you know what I'm saying? They couldn't, you know, you mentioned that earlier, they couldn't take direct warfare with Iran and expect to win.
Without help.
Yeah, without help. They couldn't expect to win. You know, and of course, there's very much close ties between Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of these different organizations, Islamic Brotherhoods, I like to call them, who just so happen to, we'll get into some militia shit. They are united Islamically, historically, and culturally in that beef and in that issue over there. You know what I'm saying? People ain't too scared of the United States like that right now. You got too much shit going on. You got what's going on in Africa. You got what's going on in the Middle East already. Plus, what's going on in Ukraine and stuff like that. And, hey.
We can't get off of this topic before we mention some of the real gangster shit that we seen the Iranians on when it came to their ballistic missile projects and that whole sphere of their society. You know, that whole sphere of their economy is something that has a nationalistic impulse directly attached to it.
Yeah.
A spiritual impulse collectively felt attached to it. And it's amazing for us to see this. We saw things, big billboards about their hypersonic missiles reaching Tel Aviv in 400 seconds.
That's the advertisement.
It's covering the whole side of a building.
Yeah. These fools got, you know, missiles stocked up, and in front of every missile, there's a picture of like a dead Iranian revolutionary or soldier,
a martyr,
whole martyr, just right there, boom, in front of every missile.
A different martyr for every missile, Aki.
Different martyr for every missile.
And how many did you see on there?
I say this, they didn't show the whole row, but from what I seen, it was at least 12.
So, this is something that they see their defense as. Oh. Centrally important to, you know, what they're doing as a society, as a nation.
You got
to
think, Iran has never really necessarily been conquered by the West in recent years. They've been free from them since, you know, the Khomeinis and all of them. So, you know, they have a strong nationalistic spirit with them. They're one of those groups of people. They're sort of no different than, like, you can even say a Vietnamese or, you know, saying a Chinese person. They got strong nationalism. But the biggest thing that I'm sort of shocked about is that they didn't go through Russia to get their military because Russia was supporting Iraq. Mm. They went through China and Korea. Mm. That's how they got their foot in the missile game. And then they did an old tactic that Japan did back in the day. They bought the technology from these different companies in different countries and different weapons makers, and then they took it and reduplicated it and made it better.
Reverse engineered.
Yep, reverse engineered and made it better. Same thing Japan did with their weaponry. Okay, you got guns. You came to the shores. We let you in. We're going to learn all your shit. Then we're going to turn around and build ours.
That's an important difference from the global conflicts that we see now versus the ones 50, 60, 70 years ago, you know, or even longer ago, where the West had a clear, you know, military advantage, or, you know, Europe had a clear military advantage over the rest of the world, you know, and that's just not the case anymore in a lot of important ways. I mean, you see what they thought Russia's military or Russia's economy, what they how they thought it would react to sanctions, or how they thought it would react to prolonged warfare with Ukraine, and it's not reacting like that. I mean,
and I think that's mostly just because America came out, they came into the economic stride a lot earlier than all of them. So while we were going through all our little economic gains in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, even though people suffered, you know, because Negroes were still here going through the shit, you know, they wasn't, like, China, as big as China's economy is, it didn't really start booming until, like, the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Russia's didn't really start booming until it opened up. So at one point in time, the West was the main place that you had to do trade with. Well, it ain't that way no more. You know what I'm saying? China, you can buy product from China. You can buy weaponry from China. You can buy weaponry from Russia. You can buy food from Russia. You can buy things from Korea. And I'm talking about South Korea, North Korea, anybody, any, like, now there's big enough nations who have sustainable governments enough that, yeah, we can do trade with each other. So we don't have to necessarily rely on the West anymore. If I can get my oil from Russia, I can get my cattle, I can get food imported in. I can export food. I can trade between, you know, Russia, China, Korea, and Africa, literally, can trade between each other and literally not have to depend on the West. So, I mean, it's just a fact of now, you know, the West isn't the superpower that it used to be. Even Brazil is doing business with China and South Korea. You know what I'm saying? Even they're doing business with them. So it's like, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's welcome to a world where you ain't top dog all the
time. You want North Korea?
North Korea? Yeah. Because South Korea is generally, and even they going through it right now because they sell technology to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these ballistic missiles have to have high-tech parts and components and things like that. South Korea has been sitting there for years having to develop theirs because they scared the shit of North Korea.
Right.
So they got to liquidate some of that and make some finance somehow. They'll sell it to one of them countries. It ain't no doubt in my mind. They already said Iraq has made, they have made relationships outside of mainstream that allowed them to be able to get access to the shit that they need to get.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, we seen that about Iran. They was working with a Chinese man in New York to get the parts, to get the tungsten they need to type
shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, shoot, they got their own trade lines, their own trade networks. It's nothing, you know, that's what they do. So, we can keep an eye on it.
All right, Aki, let's talk about the cultural war going on right now. And that's between, I guess it was the big three. I don't know if it's still the big three. It might just be the big two with J. Cole kind of dropping out after multiple years of claiming he was the best MC. You know, and I say this as somebody who loves J. Cole's music, you know, especially his early shit. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, like, the Come Up, the Warm Up, Friday Night Lights, I love those mixtapes. You know, there's also certain albums from him I like a lot, too.
Yeah.
But most recently, in the 2 years, you know, whatever time he's been spending on his art after K.O.D., it's been highly dedicated to, you know, this narrative that he believes he's the best rapper alive, the best doing it, the GOAT of this rap shit. He says it about himself over and over.
Yeah.
But when Kendrick dropped out like that verse, that's even still 2-3 weeks now, the number one Billboard charts. It's one of the longest charting number ones that hip-hop has seen in a decade. You know what I'm saying? J. Cole's response to that was, you know, the actual response, a 7-minute drill.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't stand on it. on that diss, he questioned Kendrick's catalog. He said that To Pimp a Butterfly, I'm Born, he said Miss Morale and the Big Steppers was tragic. You know, dissing a goated discography, you know what I'm saying, with classics. I mean, when J. Cole ain't got no verified classic yet.
I can stand with that, but the point is, he said it. And you should stand on it. That's my thing. He probably didn't. He ain't got no classic, but you gonna throw it out there, you're supposed to stand on it.
The album that this was on was legit.
Yeah, the legitimate diss.
People was excited about his response, you know what I'm saying? And it excited me, even though I was like, oh, okay, he talking about Kendrick's discography. That's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But it at least got niggas' ears perked up. Some niggas had him winning the first round off of that.
Man, that's...
But nah, bruh. Nah, what did you think about the apology he did during the Dreamville Festival a few days after it dropped?
I mean, like this, no MC's supposed to be sitting. You apologize after y'all already made peace with each other. And you at least allow your track. It's like a get back thing. It's no different than the Iran and Israel thing we just seen. Y'all fired and banged on the embassy of ours and killed some of our generals. We finna fire back. Now we can let that be done, or we can get into some gangster shit. Same thing as MCs. When another MC call your name out, either you respond or you shut up. It's either one of them.
J. Cole shut up. I mean, what Wordly heard J. Cole, he tried to do both.
That's the point. You released a diss track that was a legitimate diss track. It was a legitimate diss track. Was it better than Kendrick? I won't even say Kendrick's was a super diss track song. He threw a shot at him in a verse.
It was the call out.
Yeah, it was the call out. He called you out. Okay, boom, you threw out a track. Now you give him a response. It would have been good for hip hop to see that. It's always gonna be people that's gonna be like, well, I like Kendrick. It's gonna be people that say I like J. Cole. You know what I'm saying? But we need to see. This is at an apex right now. Hip hop needs that. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know. You got your boy Drake jumping in.
Yeah, bro.
You know? And, you know, Drake, from what it said, if it ain't AI, you know, he didn't just, you know, he throwing his out there, too. And I'm like this, at least he putting his foot in the pot.
Yeah, he said Kendrick's feet was small. He said he don't sell as much as Drake. He said you ain't hot in this. I mean... Drake even said that SZA's washing Kendrick. He said Travis Scott and 21 Savage is all washing Kendrick. And I was just like, okay, niggas just lying on tracks now. Those are the bars that made me think this shit was AI. Because, like, how is niggas really down what Kendrick mean to the culture? J. Cole did it and Drake did it. What's wrong with these light-skinned niggas,
bro? I mean, I'm going to say this, man. If it ain't, it's still a legitimate diss track.
So, oh, for sure. No doubt about it.
And I want the response. I want to see the smoke. Yeah. I want to see the chimney burning. That's where I'm at with mine. Like, you know, okay, we got all of y'all. Now we got Rick Ross jumping in it. And I ain't gonna lie. Now, I ain't gonna front. He had the best diss track to me. I like this shit. I was like, yeah, that's some G shit right there.
I'm in agreement. My favorite song out of J. Cole and Drake's and Rick Ross's responses is Rick Ross's. No doubt about it.
Rick Ross, he did his thing. And I don't even think he's trying to put himself in that GOAT conversation. But damn it, he gave a legitimate diss track. And he's doing a little trolling. So, you know what I'm saying? Hey, he wants to smoke. So I'm like this. It's a time in the culture of hip-hop where we got to see who the toughest. Which MC is toughest? Which one is the one? Who... is the one that can hold that title and take all challenge. You know what I'm saying? Hey, and that's even this, and I don't even think this to be a lyricist thing. You know, I don't even think it got there yet. I don't even think we analyzing it like that. I just, you know, if we going on what I done heard so far, I mean, I'm like this. I don't know if nobody want to see... you know what I'm saying, Rick Ross right now. And don't get me wrong, I think J. Cole is a better MC than him. And I think Kendrick is a better MC than him. But they just don't put their shit together like him.
Yeah, Rick Ross with the beats and his voice, he's gonna be hard to beat. And he don't spit no whack verses. Everything he's gonna put out is gonna be extremely listenable.
Quality.
You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like some shit I wanna ride to.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Kendrick and them do the same thing. Well, I'm gonna say this. Kendrick does, because Kendrick ain't back down from shit yet.
Right.
You know? And I ain't even gonna say that about Drake. Drake ain't back down from shit yet. He there for the smoke.
No, you can't say that. Drake back down from Pusha T.
Well, I'm talking about in this situation.
Okay, I got you.
Now, he backed down from Pusha T, and that was a wise decision.
You know what I'm saying? Pusha T killed that nigga.
That was a wise decision.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, it's like, hey, you stepping in the ring with Kendrick. Now, I just say Pusha T is different. You know, he just, yeah, you made a wise, calculated, well-thought.
And
whoever your management was, they was right. Like, nah, don't even say nothing. Just
as an aside, Pusha T real quick. I heard a verse of his that he did for like F1 Formula Racing.
Yeah.
Some F1 Formula Racing company he's associated with to hire him to write this verse. That shit was one of the best verses I heard this year.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, he is a writer's writer.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he was definitely wise for not taking that right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and fade to the side. But in this one, he in the game. He seemed like he in the game. He won't smoke.
Yeah.
So I say, let them all duel it out. You know what I'm saying? See who come out on top. You know what I'm saying? We can give them a nice crown. You know what I'm saying? Now it's not disputed. You know, it's not disputed. One of y'all running talking about big three. Every MC is supposed to think that he the best.
Facts.
Every MC. So y'all shouldn't even be running together.
You ain't never heard Kendrick talking about, it's the big three, me and them niggas. No, he been saying he the GOAT.
Listen, Wu-Tang Clan got 9 members, really 12. And every single one of them think they the best. They just so happen to work it out to come together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's about the only time I done seen that happen. But any other time, MC think he the best, he's supposed to think he the best, and you should be willing to put your skills to the test to see you the best. You ain't even supposed to allow somebody to be around you and say they the best without challenging them, because you think you the best. You know what I'm saying? If that's what you are, an MC. You know, you got some writer MCs, you got some battle MCs, you got some freestylers. These dudes is out here throwing shots at each other. I want to see what it be like. You know, I think I look at it more in a commercial sense, though. I don't look at it like I'm going to really be sitting, you know, like it's not a deep, deep lyrical thing like the ones I got back in the day. I think this is a little more commercial. And I think it's good, though, for the general hip hop.
Thus far, it's been like that. I think if Kendrick and Drake actually get into an actual exchange, it's going to get deep and lyrical.
Oh, don't get me wrong. And I'm going to say this. Drake can flow. He can flow. I'm not a fan of his. But he can flow.
I don't think he get lyrical like Kendrick, though.
He might don't have to. See, if you're in battling, if your pop shots is quality, you can pull it out.
But see, that's what make Kendrick different. I know I'm a Kendrick fan. I sound like
now
one.
Now, Kendrick can pop shot, though. He can pop shot.
Yeah, he can do both.
He can do both. So, you know what I'm saying? It's not like he ain't got the skills and the quality. It's just that, you know, if like, I can be in a battle rap, a person can beat you by dissing you. He ain't even got to say nothing super lyrical. He can just be dissing your ass, and you know what I'm saying, in a very abstract and deep or commercial, laughable, competitionist way, you know.
I think this is what's going to decide the battle, Aki. The fact that it's easier to laugh at Drake than it is Kendrick.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a part of the industry already to point and laugh at Drake because of his corniness, because of his acting background, because... You know, he's definitely constructed a certain identity to rap from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that he wasn't really raised with. You know, there was some construction, some deliberate construction there.
Yeah.
You know, and where Kendrick is an authentic brother from Compton, California.
Yeah.
That is, you know, not trying to be a conscious rapper.
Yeah.
In that sense. Like, it's really just, you know... He represents the hip hop tradition.
He's a natural MC.
I think everybody recognizes that if we want somebody to represent the hip hop tradition, it's Kendrick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where Drake represents a more commercial route.
Yeah.
You know, and thus far it's been easier to laugh at Drake because of that. Like, there's really nothing about Kendrick besides him being short and having small feet. And Drake already mentioned that.
Yeah.
Is he gonna dig into that? Because this nigga Drake was in blackface. This nigga Drake is probably a Zionist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he probably supports the wrong side of this genocidal war going on.
I say it like this too. You know, he may have to worry about dealing with Rick Ross. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Rick Ross is on you now. You know what I'm saying?
He is.
So it's like, which one do you do? I don't really think you want to be trying to battle or go at it, having rap beef. Because I ain't saying it like no battle, like in some traditional shit. These two niggas finna see each other and have a cypher. You know, they finna throw some diss tracks at each other. And you like a perfect, like, I hate to say it, Drake, you like a easy target.
These niggas might make an example out of you.
Yeah, you an easy target. Because niggas sort of been wanting to get at you for a while. But it's like, you know, he make a hot track. He, you know what I'm saying? I ain't hang around him. But you know what I'm saying? Now it's like, okay, you know what? You shouldn't even did that, dog. You shouldn't even got into this.
You know, Drake also has some history of texting women under 18.
Hey.
Like, I'm just saying, if niggas really, like, this is some serious dirt that if it came out in a rap battle and was done right.
Yeah.
Could be some ether.
It could be some ether shit. I mean, I don't think, like, he was a quality challenger for the battle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're an easy target. J. Cole is a hard target. I would put him as a hard target. He just didn't have the gonads to continue. Even if you threw out your track, Kendrick threw out his, you let it be. That's it. You know what I'm saying? That's still enough for people to, you know what I'm saying, be like, that's not gonna take nothing away from your legacy. You know, then you're gonna go down in legacy. Cause you remember that time J. Cole and them had beef? Two tracks, same thing. When LL and Cannabis had their beef, there was only two tracks. Really three. Think maybe four. That was it. They didn't have no long history of this. He came out and initially dissed him. LL responded. Cannabis responded. LL responded then. Greater Powers came through and squashed the beef. That's what it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, let it be what it is. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie. Rick Ross ain't got no beef really with J. Cole and none of them. His shit is with Drake. So if I count on the Drake, Rick Ross beef, I'm going with Drake. If I go with the Kendrick Lamar, because now J. Cole, you're not even in there.
Right.
You should be in there, but you're not even in there anymore. Total disappointment. It's going to be J. Cole.
J. Cole shouldn't have said that shit on stage. But
J. Cole, but if Kendrick Lamar.
If J. Cole felt that way, he should have put it on record. You know what I'm saying? People would have respected that more.
Yeah.
Even if it came out after the diss record, but
because it's a way to respond without even dissing back. Sometimes
he should. I mean, everything about that shit would have been dope. Like his 7-minute drill track, if he didn't include the shit about Kendrick's discography, because everybody like rolled their eyes about that. Like, nigga, that's not true.
That's the thing though. It don't even matter if it ain't true. It's the audacity that the nigga.
But no, but I see what you're saying, Aki. But
that makes you say, like, how the fuck you gonna just say that shit? Kendrick Lamar got you involved in it. Even
but
it gotta more.
Be. But see, it gotta be an ounce of truth there, Aki. There wasn't in this case, and I'm talking about the culture. But there was a cultural backlash for him. Like, I see what you're saying. Like, it should have worked, but it did not work for him. That's why you see this nigga squirming on stage.
But even if it didn't work, like, that's the thing. Even if it, like, the point is, you said it. I said it. And even though I know it ain't true, I said it to diss you.
He should have said, I'm a better rapper than you.
You know
he should have came on like, but this it really revealed that J. Cole was very sensitive about what Kendrick said. He said, yo, best work, your best album is a light pack. He didn't put no names on that.
And don't get me twisted.
He just said it. And J. Cole took like a hit dog on going
yeah.
What?
It is about, yeah, it is a bunch of bullshit. Don't get me wrong. Kendrick Lamar's his records are classics. He got classics. He got things that he can put out there that you can, if it was a 5 mic still initiated, he would have had a 5 mic for him. At least 2, you know. J. Cole hasn't did that. He probably gave you some 4s. Better gave you some 3s. But he ain't never gave me a 5, you know. Even with that, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I mean. Like, that's a total disrespect. If I say, nigga, you can't make beats. And I know you can make beats. Everybody else know you can make beats. It's still a, it's still like a, you gonna feel a certain way because like nigga know I can make beats. So you saying that just to come at me?
I think there's a certain, I feel what you're saying still, but there's a certain threshold of truth that wasn't met there.
No, and don't get me wrong.
They gotta be a drop of truth in what you're saying.
It may have not been. He should have doped that. It would have been more legitimate if he would have never apologized and dropped out the beef. Mm-hmm. See, if he was still been in the beef, you could be, I can understand that. You'd be still sitting here like, I don't even know how to, we're gonna say some shit like that. And such and such and such and such. Now you waiting for the response. The response come. Boom. He come back with a response. He just threw that out there to get him out there. It's cool. But like the nuances of the beef, like he, you shouldn't have apologized, J. Cole. You lost points as a like, I think you're gonna, your album gonna sell for sales. I'm not gonna say that. No, I want the black man to prosper.
We're gonna see. I mean, it's called The Fall Off, so niggas, I mean, he might be setting up for the album.
I mean, I want the black man to prosper, but man, you know what I'm saying? Cause when you told me that, I'm like, what? Okay, that's gonna be nice. That's gonna be all right right there. So, even with Drake involved, that's gonna be all right.
So, any final thoughts on all this, Aki, the hip-hop Super Bowl we're experiencing right now? Well, what's your... Let me ask this. That's maybe a concluding question, because we're going to pick this up next week or the next episode. What are your expectations for Kendrick's response? Do you expect him to respond?
Honestly?
The Drake.
That's the thing. It's really beneath him to answer Drake.
Mm.
Like, but you got to.
Mm-hmm.
You got to. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's easy. Like, Drake dissing Kendrick, that's easy work for Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, if Drake can stretch it out. So, same way I said, four tracks, if you can still stay in that four track realm, you may get some kudos and some points out of this to add to your MC and credibility or your accoutrement as a rapper.
But really, we're still in round one. Like, Drake started off round one.
Yeah.
Like, Kendrick's call out was for the whole industry. It was a verse on a Future song. You know what I'm saying? It's not. He didn't drop a diss song towards anybody yet. So Drake kicked it off with a diss song. He said this nigga got small feet, called him out directly.
Yeah.
He even mentioned his wife's name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Kendrick's going to end round one. Like, I think he's going to drop a bomb drop. I don't necessarily know if Drake is going to respond to it. Because remember...
And it does depend on how big that bomb drop. If he releases a killer...
I don't think Drake... I think...
I didn't even say nothing.
Kendrick's going to kill him like Pusha T killed him. Probably, you know what I'm saying? Because when Pusha T did what he did to Drake... keep you informed next week with, you know, whatever.